Let's go to Brian Finn for the business news.
Mary, thank you. Financial services, technology and the media and telecommunications sectors command the highest gender pay gaps in Ireland, according to an analysis by Deloitte. The study is based on information supplied by 350 organisations across six sectors in their reports ahead of another milestone date in the process next week. Anne Kelleher, Director in Global Employee Services at Deloitte Ireland, is here. You were here with us 6 months ago, Anne, when this process was kicking off. So just remind us of what's been happening around gender pay gap reporting.
Well, in 2022, last year was the first year that companies with 250 plus employees per entity had to legally report their gender pay gap metrics. So in December of last year, we saw companies of those sizes reporting for the first time their gender pay gap. And I suppose in that report, they also had to give details around the drivers around the gender pay gap, as well as the plans they were going to put in place to reduce their gender pay gap over time.
So what's the overall picture so far?
Well, from our study, we're seeing that the mean gender pay gap for the hourly paid rate is approximately 13.3%. For bonus payments, the gender pay gap is higher at 24.2%. And that's mainly driven by the fact that we're seeing, I suppose, a lack of representation of female throughout the organisations, but more at senior roles. And with men dominating the more senior roles where there's variable and higher bonus payments, that's not a surprise that the metrics for the bonus gender pay gap is higher than the one for the hourly paid rates.
So around 13% is the average, but then certain sectors perform not as well as others. As I mentioned at the outset, financial services, technology, media and telecommunications. Why did they perform relatively poorly?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. If you take the financial services sector, there's a predominance of female on the lower levels in those organisations. And a lack of female representation at the top. I think a central bank study in 2021 indicated that over 80% of the roles in the financial services were held by men. And as I said before, given bonus payments are mainly associated with the more senior roles, hence why the gender pay gap is higher in those organisations. For the tech world, I think it's been, I suppose, known that there's been, a lack of the required skills and capabilities in the marketplace. And in general, we would see kind of tech industries being more dominated by males versus females. But I think in fairness to the technology companies, they've done an awful lot of work around STEM and going into schools and universities to, I suppose, increase the awareness and to get a greater representation of females in the talent pool so that they can be hired in. But I think companies will have to not just hire in equal proportions of men and women, they'll also have to make sure that they have systems and processes in place to progress them and develop them in the organisation. And also, I suppose, show a commitment for equal opportunity and that there is availability of senior roles for females in organisations.
You conducted a report in Deloitte alongside this called Women at Work.
Yeah.
Did that shed any light on this process? Did it throw up any potential solutions?
Yeah, that study was spoke to 5,000 women over 10 countries, and I think it does give it good insight. So, for example, over 97% of those spoken to said that they wouldn't be comfortable asking for flexible working because they believed that it would have a negative impact on their ability to be promoted and progressed. And at the other side, we know that where there's flexibility in organisations, there's a greater tendency to hold on to females in the organisation. The only thing I would say about flexibility is I think it's very important when companies put in flexible programmes that it's seen to be open for all genders, that it's also role modelled from the top, because what we don't want to see is that it's only females taking over flexible type working, which tends to be part-time or job sharing or even associated with the lower paid jobs.
Just very briefly, another deadline effectively next week on June 1st. What's that?
Well, June, companies have an ability to choose the date they're going to pull down their data to be analysed for regulation purposes between June 1 and June 30th. So now that we're into the second year of reporting, companies will have to pick their due date between June 1 and 30th, as I said, and then report their gender pay gap for 2023 by 6 months later, which is December. So we haven't seen any change in the regulation or the guidance by the government. So companies will pull their metrics. But I think the interesting thing about 2023 reporting is companies will have a comparison to 2022. So hopefully they'll be able to show where they're making progress, or if they're not, explain why. And I think it's a good opportunity for companies to do that.
Anne Kelleher of Deloitte Ireland, thank you very much indeed.